GoodSuccess.com. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the privilege to learn from you again today, how you actually want to guide us in the paths and that you have chosen for us, and you want to lead us forward, because you always lead forward and never backwards. I pray for everyone who is listening right now or who will watch the recording, that Lord, you visit everyone and let no one return back the same way. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. The topic remains go forward, and the tagline is leaving mediocrity and escaping the status quo. This is really important for us as children of God to understand that God's plan for us are plans of good and not of evil, to bring us to an expected end. Praise God. God has great things in store for us, and he really wants you and I to enjoy his best, the best of himself, the best of the life he has crafted for you and I. So what does it mean to go forward? It actually means to move from where we are to where God wants us to be. That is what it means to go forward. And God's design for you and I is never to be static, because God wants you and I to look at yesterday and see it as nothing when compared with what he has done in our lives today. And I pray that by reason of this episode today, that you and I will look back and say, yes, God has indeed been good to me. I've been able to escape mediocrity. I've been able to escape the status quo of where meet my fathers, my forefathers, the people around me, my nation has not been able to escape. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. So what is mediocrity? I think it's really important that we actually look at the meaning of that word. What is mediocrity, and what is the status quo? We are going to look at what the dictionary says about it. It says ordinariness. That's being ordinary. What is ordinary? When you see sand on the floor, you don't jump up and start dancing that, oh, I found sand. No, sand, soil, those are just normal things. Those are ordinary things of life. It doesn't excite us. We don't get excited because I've taken a handful of sand. No, it is ordinary. What is mediocrity? Commonplaceness. It's just commonplace. It's common sense, common things. They are common, so there is no special thing around it. For example, if I bring gold to you or diamond, you don't call that ordinary. You don't call that commonplace. It is special. In fact, someone can be killed because of holding a precious gold in his hand, or precious diamond in his hand, or all those precious stones. You can be killed because of that, because someone else wants to take it. That's how important it is. And that is why if you and I look at our lives, if you see the enemy rising up, all hell breaking loose, it's because there is something special about your life and my life. It's because there is something unique about you and myself. That is exactly why the enemy is chasing it. If it is empty, why would the enemy chase it? Look at the life of Jesus. The enemy killed several children just to destroy Jesus. It was because there was something valuable in Jesus. The same thing for Moses. The same thing for Joseph. Even his own family members were after him to destroy him. Why? Because there was just something unique and special about his life. So for you and I also, if you think there are just so many things, worries, fears, doubts, anxieties. You know, most times the reason you are doubtful is because you have several options. If you only have one option, you won't be doubtful. Doubtful of what? Double-mindedness about what? If you only have one option in life, then you only do that. Now, if you stand before your wardrobe and you are worried, you are doubtful of the clothes to wear, it's because you have several clothes. If you only have one shirt and one trouser, you are going to dress up faster than anybody in this world because you just have one. So sometimes, even though doubts, confusion, worries, they are negative things, but they are also pointers to the fact that God is good to you and I, that God has given several options to you and I, and we should be glad about that instead of being sad about it all the time. Mediocrity is a lack of inspiration, inadequacy, indifference, and adequacy, actually, that you are adequate. You just feel there is nothing special. I'm just okay. That's mediocrity. Indifference, inferiority, amateurism, lack of excellence. If I look at my life today, if you look at your life, if I look at my business, if I look at my career or anything around me, do I see any of these things? Can I define anything in my life by any of those terms you've used? Ordinariness, lack of excellence. It's just like everyone else. Then we are looking at the traits of mediocrity in that area. But I pray that God will empower you and I to avoid that trap called mediocrity in Jesus' name. And then the second one we are looking at is the status quo. Here it says the existing state of affairs, especially regarding social or political issues. Now, in this case, it's talking about being the same, remaining the same, stagnancy, not changing levels. The same way they've been doing it, and it's still the same way over and over again. That is status quo. So status quo doesn't mean that what we are referring to is bad. It could just be good. And like it's been said over and over again, good is the enemy of best or better. Better is also the enemy of best. If something is good, you may not see a need to make it better. And that is when mediocrity sets in. You want to maintain the status quo. So, for example, remember during the days of typewriter, some people stood by it like, what's this computer thing? No, it's not for us. I think typewriter is just normal. It's more genuine. You can see all manner of arguments for people to stay on the typewriter. If anyone still does that today, they are probably out of job. Almost probably 99.999% of people who were good typing those days don't have any job for typing. If you're hired as a secretary now, I'm not sure anyone is going to ask, can you use the computer? I don't even think they ask that question anymore in any interview. Why? Because it's now mediocrity to be asking about that. It's about the softwares you can use now. I don't think they will even ask, can you use Microsoft Word? Like, who shouldn't use Microsoft Word? It's no longer something you can be proud of that, oh, I can use Microsoft Word. And so, that is no longer excellence. Now, if you cannot use it exceptionally good and do very creative things, do it fast and all that, fine, we can talk. But that I can use it, it's not a big deal anymore. That is just explaining what mediocrity and status quo is. People like staying on the same spot. They don't want to change because change is inconvenient most times. Change is not that easy. It's easier to stay where we are than to go where we want to be, because change involves a lot of risk. For example, if you have a job and you want to transition into a business, for people who are thinking about that, man, that's when you know that taking risk can really be hard. You know that this is my dream. I want to own this big business. I want to do great things for God. I want to make a lot of money. But transition, now it takes years. A lot of people wait for years upon years, maybe decades, before they finally pick up that business. And unfortunately, by the time they are picking up that business, the ship has sailed. Things have changed already. Imagine if somebody was waiting all his life to start a digital marketing business. Now AI has taken over. It's a different ballgame entirely. So, for you and I, we know that God wants you and I to experience excellence and to display excellence everywhere. If you look at yourself from head to toe and all the creations of God, if I look at that, I will see that God is a God of excellence. He displays excellence in every area of our lives. See all the systems in our body, reproductive system, respiratory system, digestive system, and all that. God put all the systems into place. That is excellence. Every cell in your body has a function. Every atom, every part has its own function. It's not just there. It's not just mediocrity. No, it's excellence. And your brain keeps producing and reproducing, and your body keeps reproducing cells every day. You can see that God is not a God of status quo. He's a God of excellence. Why do you need new cells every day? Because new things are happening. You are growing. You are becoming better. You are becoming wiser. The brain cells are developing. Everything is just working perfectly. So how do I leave mediocrity and escape the status quo? That is exactly where we are here today. And how do I follow the biblical principles to achieve that? Remember when we started last week, we started talking about the movement of the Hebrews from Egypt to the Promised Land. And while they were moving, just about when they were to escape from Egypt totally. They've left already, actually. Then the Egyptians woke up from whatever dream they thought they were having and started chasing them. They want to take them back. No wonder the enemy wants to pull us back into whatever God has already taken us from. And he uses all manner of tactics. He uses bullying. The devil is the master bully. He uses bullying, he uses intimidation, all manner of things, just to make sure you and I don't go to the future, that we should just slip back to the past. But I say the devil is a liar for you and I in Jesus' name. They were coming at the back. Of course, that is already intimidation. Then there is a Red Sea in front. Limitation. Intimidation at the back, limitation in front. How are they going to cross the Red Sea? And then we saw God showing up, parting the Red Seas, making the water a wall by this side and a wall by this other side. That's you seeing water standing for the first time in history. However, even after seeing the rivers part, if you never see any miracle in your life again, you know that is enough. But guess what happened when the Israelites left Egypt and God destroyed their enemies? They wanted to go back to Egypt several occasions. When they saw the Red Sea and they saw the Egyptians, they wanted to go back. God delivered them. When they got to the wilderness on their journey to the promised land, they still wanted to go back. They wanted to go back to the status quo. They wanted to go back to how things were. We're still going to see today the reason why they were always being pulled back to go back to their previous experience as being slaves. They are free now. They want to go back to slavery. I will share some of that later. Now, the Hebrews wanted to maintain the status quo. The life of slavery is an easy one. Do you know why? I'm going to mention them. Number one, slaves don't take risks. That is why it's been difficult for you and I to probably move from where we are to where we want to be. The enemy wants to make slaves out of us in whatever situation we have right now. Maybe the success we have right now, he wants to make us the slaves of that success. Or maybe the failures you have right now, the enemy also wants to make you and I the slave of that failure. However, God is pushing us to the front. But because slaves don't take risks, it's easier to stay where we are, just like the world will say. That's why we say it's biblical principles. The world will say, the devil you know is better than the angel you don't know. Nothing could be further from the truth. The devil is always the devil. And we know him, that he's always a liar. Every time you see someone preparing chicken and keeping them for Christmas, we know what the end of it is. It's just to kill that chicken. Nothing else. It's not because they love their chicken. So if the enemy is encouraging you and I or anyone that you know to stay where they are, it is because the enemy wants to destroy them. And when we say destroy, it doesn't mean they're going to die. It means they're going to perish. The word the Bible used for perish. That means their life is going to lack excellence, mediocrity. And with mediocrity, you can't really glorify God, because God is a God of excellence. So slaves don't take risks. And every time they want to take risks, because it's a risk living where they are, where they are assured of food. Which brings me to the next point. Slaves don't worry about food or day-to-day life. The masters of slaves provide them with clothing, provide them with food, provide them with shelter, provide them with protection. Everything is provided for by the owner of the slave. So that is why it's always difficult. Every time you want to leave where you are to where you want to be, you remember that that situation protects you, preserves you, provides for you. For example, somebody wants to leave a job into a business. That job provides for you, protects you in quotes, and makes sure you are comfortable. Or somebody who God has told to leave where he lives to another place, maybe within the same country or out of the country. Where you are right now, you are protected, you are preserved, you are familiar with that environment. And God is saying, leave. That is why it's difficult. That's the same experience with Israelites. Mediocres do not have ambitions or visions. Even if they have it, they don't want to pursue it. The Bible says the lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting. That is the life of a mediocre. Every mediocre is a lazy man. Mediocres are lazy. Do you know why? Because they don't roast what they took in hunting. Now, this same guy went out, took all the risk to go and get a wild animal, brought it home. But just about when he was supposed to prepare it, he says, I'm too lazy, I need to sleep now. By the time he wakes up in the morning, that game is already wasted. That is exactly what happens when you and I delay and delay and delay in fulfilling our purpose and the promise that God has given to you and I. That is what happens. That opportunity gets wasted. Remember when I was mentioning digital marketing or any form of tech? Whatever you were doing before, if you are still not using AI right now, then that person is still wasting time. Because by the time you wake up in the next 1 to 2 years, you will discover that almost everything you do, even right now, it's almost getting there. That's within 2 years of active use of AI. AI has always been there for a long time. But I'm talking about the common use of AI, where they actually made it public to almost everyone to have access to it. It's just been about 2 years. I think ChatGPT came out in probably late 2022, I guess. And now, almost everything you use has an incorporation of AI one way or the other. So if someone is still late in learning more about AI, that person is wasting time. That person is just like that lazy man that didn't roast what he took in hunting. Mediocres give in to the lies and threats of the enemy or slave masters. Mediocres always give in to the threats of the enemy. Now you saw the Egyptians coming at the back, and the Israelites were saying, it's not better for us to stay back. Left for them, they would tie Moses down and tell the Egyptians, we are really sorry. We are really sorry. Is this Moses that was confusing us? Let's just go back with you. That's what they would have probably done. Mediocres gives in to the lies and threats of the enemy or slave masters. But that's not you and I. Don't give in to the intimidation of the enemy. Don't give in to the fears that the enemy is bringing your way. That if you take that risk, that God-ordained instruction, if you take that risk in following God, that you don't know what will happen, so it's better for me to stay here. Don't give in to that. The mediocres give in because of the threat of the Red Sea, because of the limitation ahead, the limitation in quotes. Red Sea was a perfect limitation. There was no way they could have crossed the Red Sea, naturally speaking, but God made a way. So whatever limitation you think is ahead of you, or that I think is ahead of me, it's just the enemy deceiving you and I. There is always a way out. He makes a way where there is no way. Not only where there seems to be no way, where there is no way. The only time there's a limitation is if God is not in the equation. If God is not the one leading. If God is the one leading, Red Sea will part. Mountains will be broken in pieces. The road will be made broad. The wilderness will be made into a pleasant place. Desert will be made into a pleasant garden if God is the one leading. Mediocres, even when God parts the sea, they will still see the wall of water standing and give an excuse that they are not sure if that water is going to pour down, that is the reason they cannot go forward. That is a mediocre. In any area of our life that we have been delaying and waiting and waiting, let's just be careful that we don't fit into this description of the mediocre. Who will, because even after God has done the miracle, he still says something wrong with the miracle. Somebody is asking God, I want to build a house. God gives him a land and he's saying, where will I now get money to buy block? I'm talking about Nigerian situation now. Where will I get money to buy block? Just go to the land, start doing something. Build with clay, anything. We can never have an excuse if God has given you the first step to take. The first step the Israelites needed to take was just to leave Egypt, and they took it. Which brings us to the next point. If God says go forward, take the first step before doubt and worries and all the intimidation of the enemy comes in. Take the first step, because when you take the first step, it's easier to take the second step. When you overcome inertia, remember the law of motion. Everything remains in the same state except there is an external force applied on it. The moment God says go forward, that is your external force that you need. Take the first step. You don't have to know how to overcome the Jordan or the Red Sea in front of you. You don't even have to know how to overcome the intimidation of the Egyptians behind you. Just take the first step. That is the step in going forward. And the moment you take the first step, you have overcome probably 99% of other mediocres out there. And you've gone ahead of them. You may not know how it will work. You may have taken the first step and it looks as if nothing is working, as if all hell has broken loose, as if it doesn't even want to work at all. That opportunity seems to not work. But if you have taken the first step, God that you have obeyed will surely help you. Remember how he parted the Red Sea for the Israelites. He will do the same for you. Remember how he destroyed the Egyptians. He will do it for you also. But you only need to take the first step. And I need to take the first step. How do I avoid becoming a mediocre or escape the status quo? How do I avoid it? There are different areas of life that mediocrity keeps creeping in. It affects several areas of our lives, but we must be careful. The first thing we must understand is that the rules have changed. Let me say that again. The rules have changed in almost every area of life. Even in your spiritual life, the rules have changed. The only thing that has not changed is the law. There's a difference between the law and the rule. The law remains the same. The precepts of God are the same. But his methods change. God used Moses to rescue the Israelites out of the bondage of slavery, right? And Moses, you know, his pattern was different. He was using a rod, he was parting rivers and all that. When God was going to send Jesus to rescue us, Jesus did not have a rod. He did not use a rod to perform miracles. He was only using his word. So the rod became the word. If Jesus said, oh, because when God used Moses, he was using a rod, so I must have my own rod. Don't you think he will miss it? It's the word, and everything has to be done by the word. Because the person going ahead of you had a rod, doesn't mean you must have a rod. But the law is still the same. The law was to rescue people. The law was deliverance. That was the same law. But the rules are different. So for you and I, we must understand that in marriage, when it comes to business or career or Christian life or the government or finance or education, the law is still the same, but the rules have changed. While preparing for this, I was thinking about something. That the same way my parents will instruct us, if you are anyone my age, you know how our parents raised us up. It's like, hey, stop that. Go here. It's instruction. It's like a military, whatever. That's how they give us instructions. And I was wondering why, even when I become harsh with my children, they don't seem to understand it. I'm like, why? It's the same thing I'm doing. Like, hey, stop that. Sit down. Do this. And sometimes they just don't seem to understand that harshness, right? And I was thinking about it, but while I was preparing, I began to understand exactly what is happening. The rules have changed. The law is the same. The values that our parents passed on to us, those are the laws, the values. We have to pass the same to our children, or even better ones. Because now we know more of the Bible, we know that. So we are passing the same value or better values to them. But we can't use the same rules that they used. Now, this is one of the things I got to understand. When we were growing up, the rules were the same everywhere. The communication style was the same. The discipline style was the same. Even in church. I don't know how many of you were spanked in church. That they used proper cane to beat you in church. It happened during our time. When you go to Sunday school, it's another school entirely that they can spank you. They will spank you and now report you to your parents that, see, this is what this boy was doing, but I spanked him very well for you. And your parents will say, thank you for spanking him for me. When you go to school, the same thing, serious spanking at home. In fact, it's almost more lenient at home than in all these other areas. In school, oh my, corporal punishment, serious one. So the rule was the same everywhere. The language was the same everywhere. Everybody talked the same way. Every elderly person gave instruction the same way. But now, you are probably almost on your own at home. Because now, even if you are trying to spank, let's say you're in Nigeria, you can spank, you can use corporal punishment and all that. If they go to school, how many schools do they spank children now? Probably very, very few. In church, nobody spanks. So, you are just on your own trying to use the same style, the same rules. No, we can't use the same. We have to find another way to instill that punishment. Now, if I tell my children, go and face the world because they did something wrong, they'll be crying. It's almost the same impact as that cane that we receive in those days. And remember those days when they bring out cane, the sight of the cane alone is enough to reset you. Because you know the meaning of that cane. If your parents look at you like this alone, is enough. You can even start crying because you know the meaning of that special look. There is no way to explain that special look. You and the parent, you are the ones that understand it. So the styles have changed. So if you still want to address education the same way they addressed it during your time when you were growing up, no, it's not the same. When we were growing up, education and schooling were almost the same. If you go to school, you are educated. Now, you can go to school and not be educated. In fact, you can learn all the wrong things for 4 years straight in school. And by the time you come out, you can apply almost none of them. It was almost like that when we were going to school. But now, it's even worse. So, you can become super educated without even going to a tertiary institution. From the corners of your house, informal, learning here and here, and still know the same thing. And still have the same success. In fact, more success than those who went to organized school where they get organized knowledge. So we must understand that if I don't want to become a mediocre in this world we are in, if I don't want to remain in the status quo, if I don't just want to punish myself for no reason, I must understand that the rules have changed. The law is that you must be educated. You must learn. You must have enough knowledge. But the rules doesn't mean that you have to go to the four walls of a school like we used to call it. No. Education has changed. Business has changed. Previously, if you want to start a business, you must look for capital. Now, you don't need any capital to start most businesses. Right from your phone, you can do most businesses. In fact, you don't need any special office. From your house, and they will still recognize that as an office space. The rules have changed. In marriage, if you want to pattern your marriage after your parents, I can almost tell you that marriage will fail before it even starts, because the rules have changed. But the law is the same. The law of God is the same. Law of loving your wife, respecting your husband, obeying your parents, and all that. Those laws are the same. The laws of God are the same. But the method of applying those things have changed. Now, previously, when a husband wants to love his wife, it's a different way entirely. Just make sure you provide for the house and all that, then you have loved. But now, it's a different way. The rules have changed. Even wife, the way to respect your husband is not the same. For many husbands now, if you wake up in the morning, you start kneeling down, and it's like, what is wrong with you now? What kind of thing is that? Why are you kneeling now? I beg, don't embarrass me. But previously, as a wife, when you wake up in the morning, you go and kneel down, two knees. In my culture, you put your two knees on the floor. It has to touch the floor and kneel down to greet your husband. That's how to show respect. Now, respect is defined in a different way. What about work? Previously, you just need to go to work and then you have attended work. Now, it's more of attaining targets. It's more of the result you are bringing to the table, not just you coming to work. In fact, you can have people that, in some cases, they just give you a target, go. After 1 week or 1 month, you return back, tell us what you've done with your target. That's their job. So you can do anything within that period, but just show us that you have maintained the target we have given you. It's still job, but the rules have changed. Your Christian life, I don't know how many of us can categorically say that in the last 1 week, you were able to consistently read your Bible or study your Bible for 1 hour. I'm not saying the time for prayer and worship combined, though. I'm saying sitting down to study the Bible alone for 1 hour at a stretch every day. How many of us? The rules have changed. The law is the same. The law means that you must study your Bible. But how you study it may be different. Now you can study on phone. You can all manner of studies. But studying is the law. You must keep studying and studying. But how you study it can change. The method can change. The time can change. Previously, the rule is that when you wake up in the morning, you do your morning devotion. Night, when you sleep, do devotion. Now, devotion is every time during the day. Or else, the amount of information coming at you or against you, man, they will wipe out whatever you study in the morning. So, it's now pray without ceasing and studying the word without ceasing. You must listen to Christian music. You must listen to messages on the go to keep yourself fit. Because now you need to study the Bible more than we used to study those days. So, in every area of life, finances, how you maintain your finances. And even as we wrap up, if you still keep your money in the bank, savings account, well, after 1 year, nobody will teach you to stop that and find another way of investing your money. The rules have changed. But the law is that you must invest your money and your income. So, if you want to avoid mediocrity and run away and escape the status quo, you must understand that the laws of God are the same. We must follow those laws, but the rules for following those laws have changed. They have emerged. And finally, I would say the bottom line is, change your mindset. That is naturally speaking. We change our mindset. But spiritually speaking, we renew our mind. That means it's even consistent. You can change it once and say you have changed it. But renewal, renew it every day by studying the Word of God, by getting knowledge, getting wisdom from right sources. We keep renewing, becoming newer and newer every day. That is the only way we can overcome and avoid the status quo. That is the only way we can guarantee our success in every area of life, in marriage, in work, in business. And I pray that as we continue to follow these principles we've learned today, I pray that you will have success in every area in the name of Jesus. Good success in Jesus' name. That is the end of the episode today. I hope you've been blessed, and I want to encourage you to invite someone when you're coming next week and be blessed in Jesus' name. I don't know if next week will be the last one for this year. It may be, but I don't know yet. But make sure you invite someone and be really blessed in Jesus' name. So see you all next week. I pray that as you go, you will return back with your testimonies and be blessed in every area of life in Jesus' name. Amen. The good success.com.